Well, to quote the words of a friend, today is a miraculous day. We are so excited today to be celebrating the work of God and bringing back our partners in the gospel, Kent and Amber Brantley. And we are so glad they're here today to share this day with us. If you're a guest this morning, boy, you picked a great day to be at Southside. You might have come in by accident, but I can tell you for sure it is not an accident that you're here. But God brought you here for a reason. And I know we've got, it's not a lot of room. There's still plenty of room in the balcony. If you're looking for a place to sit, you can go up into the balcony. Scoot in if you don't mind, because there's people looking for places to sit. If you don't mind, as our guest, take one of the cards in the rack in front of you. Fill it out so that we can know you are here. We would appreciate you doing that so we can stay in contact with you. We're going to have an offering a little bit later. You can just drop the card in the offering plate, and we would appreciate you doing that. You might have come this morning with a prayer request, and if you have a burden on your heart, we want you to let us know about that. And just write it down on the back of one of those cards, drop it in the collection plate, and we'll be praying for that request this week. My brother-in-law and sister live in India, and as many of you know, and one of their struggles and challenges is that from time to time there can be physical persecution there. And so one time I asked my brother-in-law, I said, what do you do when one of the brothers or sisters experiences physical persecution? How do you not allow that to discourage the church? And he said, well, what we do when that happens is we throw a party. And at that party, we take the person who experienced persecution and we set him at the head of the table. And we just have a wonderful time together. And he said, that does three things. He says, number one, it encourages that person who went through suffering. It encourages them and lifts their spirits. He said, secondly, it teaches the church. It teaches the brothers and sisters that are there that they shouldn't fear suffering and they shouldn't fear persecution. And then third, he said, it gives us a chance to praise God for his faithfulness in the midst of suffering. And I think maybe that's a really good frame for what we're about this morning. That we have some members of our church family that underwent some suffering. It wasn't physical persecution, but it still was suffering in the name of Jesus. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to throw a party. And we're going to celebrate. And we hope that there'll be three things that happen as a result of our party today. Number one, we hope that Ken and Amber, their spirits are lifted and encouraged and just brought up so high. Number two, we hope that this will be a teaching time for us as a church to realize that when suffering comes, we do not fear. And there's a whole lot of fear right now in our country. And we don't fear as Christians. We don't fear suffering. We trust the Lord. But then third, and most importantly, we hope that this will be a day where we can praise God for his faithfulness in the midst of suffering, and how God is with us, even in our darkest, darkest times, and he can bring good out of that. I hope you're ready to have a fun day, and to praise God, and to give him joy, and have joy. You probably need some tissues today, so I hope you brought those. But we prayed hard for Kent and Amber, and now it is time to praise hard for God's faithfulness. Isn't that right? So let's stand at this time. Let's say this scripture together. That's our theme verse that fits the moment so well. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's sing out loud to the Lord.
Our God is a God who saves. It's a great day to be a part of the kingdom. Amen. And it's okay to let those emotions flow. Let the Spirit work inside you today as we think about the sacrifice that Jesus made and the faith that he exhibited. I'm going to read a passage from Luke 22. It's 39 through 44, if you want to follow along. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. I want you to consider the faith that it took for Christ to pray that prayer, knowing that he would be forsaken by God. The one thing that we know for certain that we can have faith in this world is that God will never leave us. Yet Jesus, on that night, realized that he was going to be left without God. And he still prayed that prayer that God's will be done. Consider that faith while we pray right now. God, we're so, so grateful for how you showed faith to us. We're so thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus and his faith, the example that we have that's indescribable. We pray that you will bless us with faith. Bless us with faith so that we can serve you in ways that the world will look at us and know we're Christians. And they'll know that we're different. Thank you for the sacrifice. Help us to take this bread and realize what was meant for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5. Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's pray. God, help us to see the joy that comes with faith. Help us to see that you will shield us from being away from your presence. You may not shield us from the trials of this world. You may not shield us from the diseases of this world, but you'll shield us from being away from you. God, help us to believe that. And help us to live it every day. Thank you for this blood that you shed. Thank you for your faith to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll tell you the hardest prayer I've ever had to pray was for Kent and Amber this last summer. And that prayer was not a prayer that Kent would be saved. It was a prayer that Kent would be faithful. And I've prayed that prayer many times since. And it's hard because I worship at an idol of security. And it's difficult to sacrifice what I think I can control and give it to God. And so because of that, I want us to pray now that we would sacrifice that. We would sacrifice our security. And that may mean that you sacrifice some of your money. That may mean that you sacrifice some of your time. That might mean that you make a decision to follow Christ in a sacrificial way that you haven't so far. But let's pray for that. Let's pray that we don't live at this altar of safety, but we live at an altar of faith. And when we serve God, nothing can separate us from His love. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray. God, we know that you have saved us. We ask that you give us the faith that we need to serve you. We ask that you give us the faith that we need to sacrifice. We ask that you give us the faith that we need to show the world what real Christians look like, what it looks like to be a disciple, what it looks like to do those good works that you prepared in advance for us to do. We pray that you put it on our hearts, that we pray for faith, and not just for security, and not for well-being, and not for all those things that we chase after in this world. Let us pray for you. Let us pray that we come to know that you are the true reward. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Probably noticed in the bulletin, if you have kids, that we do not have children's worship today. And children, I want to talk to you right now and tell you why. We want you to be in here with us as we celebrate what God has done. And we know that you have been praying for your friends, Stephen and Ruby, and for their mommy and daddy. And we know that some of you have probably come to learn that there's some people in some countries far away, a lot of people in some countries far away that are sick and that need our help. And Joyce Brown and Loretta Burns, are y'all here today? If you're here, stand up. Joyce Brown and Loretta Burns right there. Let's welcome them. They're from a couple of organizations here in Fort Worth, and they've gotten together, and they're gathering food to send to Sierra Leone, and that's a big need right now. And this, I think specifically, this food that our kids are going to give today, that you children are going to give today, it's going to go to children in Sierra Leone that need food, who maybe they're sick or their parents have been sick, and they're in need of food. And so you're going to be giving to other children in this world who need food. And we are so happy that you're going to be doing that this morning. I'm going to pray, and then Joe's going to lead a song. And y'all come forward, and I have a couple of boxes up here, and y'all can put your food in those boxes. Let's pray, though. God, we are so thankful for the children at our church and for their love for you and their faith in you. We're thankful for the prayers that they have offered up for their friends Ruby and Stephen and for Kent and Amber. And God, we are mindful of what's going on in West Africa and the great need there for resources and for people. We pray that you send them. We pray that we go, those of us that can. We pray, God, that for a miracle to happen there. We pray that the tide starts to turn against Ebola and it stops spreading. We pray for your work to happen in a mighty way there. And God, I pray that this food that's about to be given will get to the people that need it and that it will be a blessing to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
For me, one of the iconic images of the last 3 months was the picture that was taken from the balcony as we all had joined hands and were praying for Kent on the Sunday after we learned of his contracting Ebola. And I liked that picture because it showed our unity, our focus, and our complete dependence on God. And so it's so amazing to be back here today to celebrate the God that answers prayer. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you so much that we can come before you today. Father, we thank you that we can come before you as your children, and we thank you that you answer prayers. Father, we thank you that you are not a God who's detached. You're not a God who is removed from our world, but that you're a God who is active and powerful and who reigns supreme above everything. Father, we thank you so much today that that Kent and Amber are with us. We thank you that you healed Kent. Father, we thank you so much that he is able to be with us today. And Lord, we pray that you continue to heal him and work on any lingering effects that are still present. But Father, more than just healing him, we thank you for what happened in us. We thank you for the bond, the unity that we experienced, for the way that you worked on our faith and the way that you grew us as Christians. We thank you for the time that this pushed us to spend in prayer, in community, in fasting, in your word. And Father, we pray that you will continue to grow us through those experiences and through the faith lessons that we learned through this. Father, we thank you so much for what the world saw. We thank you that millions of people saw your word being proclaimed. Father, we thank you for the boldness and the courage that Kent and Amber show as they continue to proclaim Jesus. And Father, it is truly amazing to see the reach that you have given because of this event. Father, at the same time, we are so thankful for everything you've done. We continue to have a heavy heart as we think about West Africa. As we think about West Africa and we think about the crisis there, we pray for healing. Father, we pray that you are with the mothers and the fathers that are losing children and the children who are losing parents. Father, we pray that you are with that community, those communities, that this crisis will end. We pray that the world will see and will work together to stop this. Father, we pray for the two nurses from Dallas that are sick. We pray for healing for them also, and we pray that in our community that we will not be gripped by panic, but as the song we just sang says, that we will just trust and obey. Father, we know that West Africa is not the only place in our world that's hurting, and we know that people are suffering in the Middle East. We know that people are suffering in Ukraine, and even in our own neighborhood that people are suffering, and we pray for our world. We pray that you will bring healing on our broken world and that we can be part of that, not for our own glory, Father, but we pray that you will use us for your glory. We pray that we will be light and that we will show Jesus to the world around us. Father, we pray that we will be bold and courageous as we declare your word and your kingdom. We pray that we will have what the world sees as reckless abandonment for you as we tell people about Jesus. And Father, we pray that Jesus comes quickly. It's in his name we pray. Amen. I'll be reading from Psalm 41, verses 1 through 3. Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desires of their foes. The Lord sustains them on their sickbed and restores them from their bed of illness.
Ken Amber, I have thought for quite some time what the first thing that I would say to you guys publicly would be. And I made the decision last August, been thinking about it for a while, that the first thing I would say would not be, "We're glad you're here," although we are very glad you're here. And I made the decision that the first thing I would say would not be that, Kent, we're glad you're healed, even though we are so thankful that you are. Instead, I made the decision that the very first thing I would say is, Ken and Amber, thank you for being faithful. Thank you in the midst of suffering, as Scott said, for being faithful to God. When we got news that Kent had contracted Ebola, we were driving through the mountains of Colorado. We were in and out of cell phone service, and I happened to look down at my phone, and Alan Heggie had left me a voicemail. I thought, that's kind of strange. I thought that can mean one of two things. One, maybe he's wanting to tell me thanks that I taught his daughter at Camp Blue Haven. Or secondly, that there was something wrong, and I figured the latter. And then right after that, I got a text message from Johnny Gardner, and he said, have you heard about Kent? And I knew what it was. I knew he had Ebola. And so Lindsay and I and our children joined with all of you, and we started praying and started fasting for Kent. I had much better scenery to do that in than you guys did as we were driving through the Rocky Mountains. And there were mountains on all sides of us. And I remember praying, Lord, I know you can move these mountains. With the faith of a mustard seed, you can move these mountains. And I know you can heal Kent from Ebola. The way I approached my prayer life that week as I tried to become a lawyer, and I presented the Lord my case, just like Abraham and Moses and Scripture, I gave him my case, and this was my case. I said, Lord, I know that you want glory. I know that's your heart. You want the world to know you and to bring you honor and glory. I know that. And if Kent dies, you'll receive some glory. You'll receive some. But if you were to heal Kent from Ebola, you'll receive so much glory. So much. That was my case. And as the week unfolded, I started getting notifications from preachers all over telling me that they and their congregations were praying. Jonathan Woodall from Pennsylvania, Carl Williamson from New Jersey, Sean Dutile from New Hampshire, Craig Ford from Montana, Rick Atchley here in Fort Worth. They were all notifying me, emailing me, saying, we're praying, Steve, we're praying for Kent. And then I get a call from my sister in India. She said, Steve, all the brothers and sisters in India, all over, they're fervently praying for Kent. They've been touched by his story, and they're fervently praying for him. And I thought, wow, there's a whole army out there. God's going to hear. God's going to act. And then Saturday came, and we had heard that Kent was going to be flown to Emory in Atlanta, and we were driving in Montana, so we were unable to watch the live feed on CNN, but we were getting texting updates. And someone texted us, I think it was Chase Gardner, he texted and he said, I think I saw Kent walk into the hospital. And when he texted that, Lindsay read it to me, because I was not texting and driving, she read it to me. And I'm ashamed to say this, but when she read that, I laughed. I thought, there's no way. I mean, Kent was near death. There's no way that he is walking into the hospital. But then Scott Parker texted us the video, and we tried to stay on the road as we were watching that video. And it was true. And it made me remember the story of Abraham and Sarah, where the angels came to Abraham and said, in 1 year, you're going to have a child. And Sarah heard that, and it just seemed too impossible. And so she laughed. It's too impossible. And as the story has unfolded and as Kent improved and had a full recovery and as the story went international and as they've been able to be a voice for the vulnerable to the highest officials in our land, I've just laughed. It sounds impossible. But look what God can do. Look what God can do. He can crawl into a tiny little virus called Ebola that Satan means for harm and evil. And we need to keep praying for West Africa because there's a lot of harm and evil going on that Satan wants to do. But God can crawl into that virus and he can bring about so much good and bring himself so much honor.
to where all we can say in response is, praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, retrospectively, as we think back over the story, it's amazing to see how God's hand was a part of it. On Wednesday night, July 16th, I just had a burden on my heart for Kent and Amber. I don't know why. It just was there. It was a burden heavy on my heart. Even made a comment in Matthew's Wednesday night class that night about Kent and Amber. And afterwards, I pulled aside Jim Gardner and Brent Davis, two elders. I said, guys, we need to be praying for Kent and Amber right now. We need to be praying for them. And I even made the statement to them. I said, Kent could get Ebola and he could die over there. And Jim said, you know, you're exactly right. We need to be praying for them. And so the following Sunday, July 20th, Jim Gardner, during his Shepherd's Blessing, puts their picture up on the screen and says to everyone, I want the whole church to be praying for Kent and Amber. He led a prayer for their family. July 20th, that's the same day that Kent put Amber on a plane to come back to America, protecting her, Stephen, and Ruby from getting exposed to the Ebola virus. God had a hand in that. He had a hand in that. That same day, July 20th, Randy Harris spoke, and his pre-planned topic was being transformed by darkness and how the love of God doesn't protect us from anything, but instead God works in all things to bring about his good. It was almost as if God was preparing us that week for a very dark moment. God had a hand in that. And the following Sunday, July 27th, Kent's confirmed diagnosis is the previous day. And Randy Harris is scheduled to speak. I'm convinced that was an act of grace from God, because if I was speaking that Sunday or any of the other ministers, it would have been incredibly hard to stand up here and preach. But Randy was here and he could handle it. And his pre-planned topic was being transformed by prayer, as if God was preparing us as a church to pray and fast that whole week. God had a hand in that. And then the following Sunday, August 3rd, we've learned that Ken has walked into the hospital. There's a feeling of excitement. The media has descended upon our church. People know all about Southside. They know all about Kent's story. They're giving glory to God all over the world because of this story. The Liberian community connects up with us, and we're able to worship with Liberians, and it's a wonderful moment of worship. August 3rd, God had a hand in that. Every step of the way, every piece of the puzzle, every moment of the story, God's fingerprints are all over it. This story is not about Kent and Amber. This story is about God. It's about God working things out for good, God showing his power, God showing his mercy, God showing his wisdom. And all we can say is praise God. Praise God. Praise God. When I was praying for Kent while he was ill, I made a vow to the Lord, and I don't do this often, but I was just so focused, and I just promised the Lord something. I said, Lord, if you'll heal my friend, then I will do my best as a preacher to proclaim the message that you did this. Because I knew that if Ken improved, that immediately there would be rational explanations about why his body was able to defeat the Ebola virus. And I'm thankful for all the things that went into his recovery. I'm thankful for ZMAP, and I'm thankful for the blood transfusion that he was able to receive. And I'm thankful for the team that cared for him in Liberia and the team that cared for him at Emory. And I'm thankful for Samaritan's Purse, and I'm thankful for the CDC, and I'm thankful for everyone who had a hand in his recovery. And it may have been that they were the hands and the feet and the tools and the instrument that God used to bring healing to his body. But I firmly believe, fundamentally and comprehensively, that God did this. Amen. And it's to his glory. It's to his glory and to his honor and not ours. To where all we can say in response is praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I hope this story is told and retold. I hope we tell this story to our children and to our grandchildren. I hope we tell this story in sermons and in lessons and Bible classes. I hope we tell this in our children's classes. I hope we tell this in our small groups. I hope this story gets told in so many different ways. I hope when someone gets a disease and things look grim, we'll tell this story.
I hope when someone is up against a spiritual mountain that seems oh so insurmountable, we'll tell this story. I hope when someone feels a call from God and that call might involve some suffering, we will tell this story and we'll remind one another, remember Kit and Amber's story. Remember how they went to Liberia. Remember how Ebola started ravaging the area. Remember how they stayed. Remember when Kent got sick. Remember when he was down to his last breath. Remember what God did. Remember how we prayed and God answered. Remember how we cried out to God and God heard our pleas. Remember how God allowed Kent to survive and has used that small step of faith to magnify his glory throughout the whole world. Remember what God did. I hope we'll tell that story over and over again, because every time we tell that story, we'll be empowered to step out in faith, no matter if it requires suffering. And every time we'll tell that story, it will cause us to trust in a faithful God who is always present, as Scott said, even in the midst of our trials. And every time we tell that story, it will lead us into a posture of worship. And it will cause us to fall on our knees and say together, say it with me, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. We're going to pause right now and show a video. This video is the Southside story. It's what God was doing among us while Kent was battling Ebola. And it's kind of a gift to you guys. A gift just saying, here's what God was doing among your church family. Here's how God was working among us. And here's how and why we're praising God this morning. Let's watch this video together.
And I wonder what would happen if at some point we quit asking the question, why did this happen to me? And start asking the question, what can God do in this?
And Scott told me that Kent had found out that day, just maybe an hour or two before, that his Ebola diagnosis was confirmed, and it felt like getting hit by a truck.
Deal with that on my own. I mean, I was shocked and deflated and sad and frustrated by it. And
when I first heard that Kent had Ebola, Zoe was home, and I think she saw it on Instagram or something like that. She couldn't talk, and she just handed me the file. And I read it, and then of course I started crying. Couldn't say it out loud, so I handed it to my husband.
It was surreal to think that someone I know and was close to had this disease.
And of course, Becca and I didn't know what to do at first. I think we just stopped. We went to the bedroom and prayed.
I'm not smart enough to know what the outcome for Kent will be. What I have confidence in is the "and yet." But whatever it is, it's part of the story. It's not the whole story.
I remember we ended that Sunday with Brent Davis leading the congregation in prayer, making the announcement. Everyone holding hands, and we finished worship that morning with "The Lord bless you and keep you" as a song of prayer on behalf of Kent and Amber.
I happened to walk into the building with Jim Gardner, and Jim said to me that he had just been talking to Clint and told Clint that if any media showed up, to send them to me.
As is his character, his thoughts really seem to be more with other people than with himself. Committed to his faith, selfless. He trusts in God. There were a lot of tears and sniffles.
Church Sunday was difficult.
As we try to process,
to say the least,
the information and the news that we've received.
For most of us, the issue in prayer is not faith. The issue in prayer is submission. Not my will, but yours be done.
So I arrived about 7 o'clock, and the first phone call came at 8.
And our phones, it was like a 4th of July parade. They were just lighting up. And
we got to the office, and of course, we were just flooded with phone calls from media and from concerned people in our church, just wanting to know what's going on, what have we heard, and just tons of text and emails trying to just learn about how Kent was doing.
By 8:30, John and I looked at each other, and he said, "Cindy, we've got to get some help in here."
On the anchor, but yes, it was quite a day that Monday when all the news hit the news services.
Everybody needs to be praying for Kent, and so I went on Facebook and just started the page, and from there it just grew. I think in the first probably hour, there were probably 1,000 likes on the page. And
there was a picture on Facebook that had the picture of Kent with his family, and so Rachel got onto one of her apps and put onto the picture, "Pray for Kent," and then she posted it on her Facebook page. And then she started getting comments from people, "Oh, I want that. I'm going to put that on my Facebook page." And so that started going around.
I thought of Kent and Amber and how they let their light shine, and never seemed to let it go out. And so I thought, well, can we let our light shine? And Monty and I came up with a flyer that said, "Pray for Kent." And so I put, usually everything I put on Facebook is only for my friends, but that I put public. And I got replies and replies.
We let it be known that we would be up at the church on Monday evening to pray and to share stories and just encourage each other.
It was just great. It felt so good to get together with people who know Kent and Amber and to enjoy that time together.
There's still a lot of hurt and a lot of concern. Prayers continually being offered, and I think that was good. So we're trying to comfort each other and encourage other people to continue to pray.
And so when the powers of darkness do their worst, God has the last word.
I just couldn't get Kent out of my mind, and thinking of all the patients that I take care of, you know, I just, there's nothing I could do, and I just wanted to do something. The idea was to have a yellow ribbon with a card with some scriptures on it with his picture to distribute around, and the idea was to tie a ribbon on your car or your purse or, you know, your daughter's hair. I was hoping to see yellow ribbons all around to remind people to pray for Kent.
That really does stand out in my mind, that Wednesday night service. The news was so bleak. Dr. Brantley was so ill. Everyone was frightened. Right.
And so I just, on the way to church, I prayed that God would speak through me, that try and express in some way God's heart about the matter, and to also just petition and just lay it at the feet of Jesus.
One God whose kingdom purposes are bigger than we can imagine. And we pray. We pray with expectation, knowing that we could get our feelings hurt, but believing that being in a relationship with a loving God is worth the pain.
The whole time I kept thinking, please God, please just show the world who you are and how much power you have. Please make them believe that, you know, you can do this. You're the healer above all healers. You're the one who instructs the doctors and the nurses.
Because we can ask for Kent to be well and the family to be whole and the children, but the bottom line was that we wanted God to have the glory of whatever the turnout was. So that's what I prayed for.
And I was asking doctors that I really trusted, that are really, you know, critical care doctors, infectious disease doctors that I know that I work with, and trust, and they all just told me, I'm sorry, your phone isn't going to come home. And then I realized I was asking the wrong people, and that I needed to be praying about it, not looking for man to make me have hope and comfort.
I really, really was hard that time, that week, because I felt for Jan, for Kent's mother, and I felt horrible for Amber. I can't imagine how awful that was.
But by Saturday, Kent was doing a lot better. He was back in the United States. We had seen him, you know, walk from the ambulance. And so what felt like this really heavy responsibility to preach a word of hope in this really dark time became this opportunity to kind of praise God at what we had seen happen in a week.
I don't think you could put a sign out front that says pray for Kent and hold yourself out as a people who believe in the power of prayer and see what happened today and not say that that's an answer to prayers.
And so we say, and yet, and yet, and yet.
Out to everyone. And I looked over and I saw Laurie Berger, a Channel 4 news reporter, red-faced and tears streaming down her face. And I know I'd realized it before, but it really sunk in just how Kent's story of faith was going to reach so many people.
I think it was overwhelming emotion. I'm not really a teary person, but I was fighting back tears as I am right now. So just a giant sense of relief and thankfulness to God for answering all the prayers that we've been offering.
Paul writes about Christians who with one accord and with one voice give glory to God the Father. And that's what happened this summer. There was a great sense of community, a great sense of unity here at Southside.
It was just amazing because God did that. Nobody's responsible for healing Kent but God.
We prayed, we fasted, mm-hmm. and just are so thankful still how God answered those prayers beyond everything we knew.
I sent Kent a message and said, that's my new nickname for you, it's Epaphroditus, and I can't wait to receive you back here at Southside in the Lord with all joy. And we do hold you in high regard, and men and women like you, that because of the work of Christ that put their own lives on the line, and they do it because that's what we're supposed to do.
Experience that. The people really developed a deep love for their brothers and sisters here through this, and deep concern for their souls. And I think it's one of the many ways that God worked through this.
Because the promise of God is not that we will be protected from all of the bad things that happen in this life. The promise is they are not final and you will not go through them alone. The promise is that in whatever it is, God will crawl in and work.
Amen. At this time, I want to invite the elders to come up and the Brantley family to come up, and they're going to offer a special blessing at this time.
Kent and Amber, it was almost exactly a year ago that we prayed over you and Stephen and Ruby, and we sent you to West Africa with God's blessings and prayers, that the Lord would use you, that you would become his hands and feet to the people of Liberia. And God answered those prayers in a wonderful way. He really did. And he answered those prayers beyond anything we could ask or imagine. He is a faithful God. When you were sick, we prayed that the Lord would heal you and bring you back to us. And we were like the church in Acts 12 when Peter was in prison, and we earnestly prayed for you in what seemed like a hopeless situation. And again, God answered those prayers beyond anything we could ask or imagine. And just like God's angel led Peter out of prison and back to his church, in the middle of their answering those prayers, we receive you back today with astonishment. I love that word. That word is in Acts 12. The church was astonished, but they praise God, and we praise God for you now. So please join with me as we pray. Dear Lord, we give such glory to you. We praise you for your mercy and for your faithfulness, for your love. Thank you for bringing Kent and Amber and Ruby and Stephen back to us, dear Lord. Thank you for the work that they have done for the people of Liberia, for the voice that they have become, the attention that they've brought to this terrible disease. Dear Lord, we pray so earnestly that people will continue to work to find a solution. But we know, dear Lord, and we pray and we plead with you, dear Lord, to bring about healing, to bring about an end to this plague that is afflicting so many people. And we pray that Kent and Amber, through their story and their faith, will continue to bring glory to you. Thank you for bringing them back to us, dear Lord. But we know that they are yours and that their heart is to do your will. And we pray as they make decisions over the future that you will guide them and that you will continue to use them, and that through their example, you will continue to use us, dear Lord, to spread your story and to be your hands and feet and to show mercy to others and to be transformed through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
God is good. There's so many things I want to say to you, my church family. Thank you. Thank you for being faithful. I want to share my story. I want to talk about what God was doing here during those weeks. But I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to tell you a lesson I learned 12 years ago that God has been refining in my life over and over and over. And that is that when we give ourselves to the Lord, we become slaves to Christ. you make that choice every day to submit your life to God, you become His slave. And as long as you keep making that decision every day that you're going to submit your life to God, slaves do what their masters tell them to do. And as you submit to God, you will go where He leads. He will take you where He wants you. And I'll tell you that 12 years ago when I learned that lesson, that was a scary thought. Because I was sitting in Tanzania thinking, I don't want to live here. I don't want God to call me to this place. This would be hard. But the second part of that lesson was, when God leads you somewhere, He will give you everything you need to be faithful to Him. He will give you everything you need to be faithful to Him. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither life nor death, or angels or demons, or nakedness or famine or sword. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for praying for our family. Thank you for giving a year ago to be able to send us, to be able to support other people who are leaving their communities or entering into specific communities for the intentional purpose of ministering, of being ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And I pray that that's what we, the Southside family, I pray that that's what we are doing here on the south side of Fort Worth. That we are living as Christ's ambassadors, pleading with our neighbors, be reconciled to God. God is reconciling the world to Himself, not counting men's sins against them. That's our job. It's our job to love our neighbor enough to tell them, God loves you. God's not counting your sins against you if you will just come to Him. Thank you for sending us. Thank you for helping us be faithful to God's call in our lives. Thank you for being faithful to support us, to pray for us, to walk beside us in our darkest times. And thank you for welcoming us back. Thank you for providing for us in so many ways. Some of you specifically know that you've provided for us. And we're very thankful. So I thank you for praying for our faith. Thank you for praying not only that God would save my life, but that our family would be faithful. And I just want to challenge us, kind of like Steve was saying, to not only to retell this story, but to relive it over and over and over, to find the people among us who are suffering and to come alongside them and to pray for them, not simply that God would relieve their suffering, but that they would be faithful. We love you all so much. Thank you.
I firmly believe that Kent and Amber's story is both extraordinary and ordinary. On one level, it is extremely ordinary. There's very few of us, very few Christians, who are willing to move their family to Liberia and to serve people, particularly in the face of a deadly disease. That's extraordinary. But on another level, their story is very ordinary. As Kent was saying just right now, that really all they were trying to do is just simply follow the leading of God. Where God was calling them, they wanted to be obedient, and they wanted to be faithful to that call. And every single Christian, every disciple of Jesus should do the same thing. All of us should be willing to follow where God calls and where God leads. Now, some of us maybe are called to Liberia. Some of us are called, like he said, to just love the neighbor down the street. Some of us are called to move into an urban neighborhood. Some of us are called to just love the children in our own neighborhood. Some of us are called to sell our possessions and give them all to the poor. Some of us are called to learn contentment with what we have. Some of us are called to suffer. And some of us are called to use our influence so that the world can know of Jesus. We all have different passions. We all have different gifts. We all have different interests. But the calling, the essence is the same. We're all called by God to pursue his mission. And whatever that calling is, we're to respond to that faithfully. And so our invitation this morning is to answer the call. Answer the call. If God's been calling you to step out in faith, step out in mission, it's time to answer that call. We're going to have shepherds surround our building. You can walk to one of them. They'll pray with you. They'll encourage you if you have a prayer request. Or maybe you're ready to become a child of God this morning, to repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ, and become a slave of Christ, as Kent said. We'd love to welcome you into our family. If there's any way we can help you to answer the call, please come as together we stand and sing.